Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The opening words of that epistle reading probably caught your attention. By this we know love. Love. It's what we all want and need. And so if John is saying that he has a ready formula for love, it would sure be nice to know what it is. Believe it or not, in one way or another, everybody loves. It's universal. Even the worst people in history loved. But here's the thing. On our own, most of the time, the object of our love is self. When we love something, it's generally because it brings us some sort of pleasure or satisfaction. Because of sin, our love naturally focuses on what the object of our love will give us. In the verses just before our text, John writes this, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous." Cain loved, but the object of his love was himself. His brother received recognition from God, and out of jealousy and love of self, Cain murdered his brother. So what is the kind of love that John refers to in our epistle reading this morning? What does he suggest we should look to in order to know love? By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. That's where we look. That's where we see what love looks like, how we know love when we see it. When we look at Jesus and what he willingly did for us, we see love incarnate, literally love in the flesh. He laid down his life for us. He bled and cried out for us. He suffered and died for us. And that's love. That's real love. To paraphrase Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, Jesus was patient and kind. Jesus didn't envy or boast. Jesus wasn't arrogant or rude. Jesus didn't insist on his own way. Jesus wasn't irritable or resentful. Jesus did not rejoice at wrong, but rejoiced in the truth. Jesus bore all things, believed all things, hoped all things, endured all things. Jesus was and is and will always be love, true love incarnate. And this Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. When John writes that, he's simply restating what he had said earlier. This is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. But we don't. We may not be quite like Cain, but we for sure aren't like Jesus. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? You know, that example of Cain is really easy to kind of pass off. But what do you think when you drive by that guy holding the sign on the exit ramp or at the stoplight? Or what do you think when you see that person You know that person that in the grocery store that who could obviously use a bath. Is your response like mine? Like me, do you immediately have a picture of someone who could care less what they look like or is too lazy to get out and get a job? Rather than wondering what's happened in that person's life that's brought them to such a state. I'm willing to give to a local charity or to take some clothes I no longer wear to the thrift store. I'm okay with giving food to a food drive, or if I'm having a really good day, I mean a really good day, I might even be willing to offer to buy a meal for that guy whose sign proclaims he's hungry. But I certainly don't help to the degree that it impacts my retirement plans. In fact, I don't think I'd even help to the degree that it would change my plans to go out to dinner with my family. I don't know about you, but when I hear and actually listen to John's words, it makes me wonder, what kind of a Christian am I? How can I be so judgmental? How can I just simply discount the pain of another human being, one for whom Jesus died? You know, it's easy to say, what can I really do? You know, how can I, the problem is too big. I can't solve all these things. Hunger and poverty, substance abuse, cruelty toward others. All of these things seem to be woven into the very fabric of our world and certainly into the very fabric of every human being. But John says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. By this you shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And that's just the problem. My heart does condemn me. My heart tells me that I have failed to love as Jesus loves. My heart testifies to me that I'm selfish and self-centered and self-focused. I have a hard enough time taking care of my own life, let alone someone else's. And how can God possibly love someone like me? Yeah, my heart condemns me each and every day. And if my heart condemns me, how can I have confidence before God? Well, here's how. Here's how I and here's how you can have confidence before God when your heart condemns you. God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. If our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. Easter has revealed a different kind of love than we could ever know. Easter's love shows a love that has the other as the object of its affection. By Easter's love, we know the love of him who laid down his life for the other. Easter's love is confident and unafraid because it reveals the one who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. Consider him so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The love we give and the love that we experience from anyone other than God always falls short of Jesus' love. People tell us we have to earn their respect. We know that we have to earn a paycheck. And when people tell us they love us, it's often followed by, because. Because you did this or that. I love you because you're always there for me. I love you because you're such a good friend. And that's not necessarily wrong. It just is what it is, right? It's how we express our love. And when we hear words like that, we feel good. And we should. We feel good that we brought something into someone else's life that made them feel better. But John tells us that there's another kind of love that we need to know. And it's not a love we have earned. Did we deserve to have God lay down his life for us? No. The love God has made known is far different from any other love. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's Easter love. That's true love. That's divine love. And we know it's true and divine because Jesus gave this love willingly. We heard him say in that gospel reading, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus laid his life down and took it up again for us. See, that's the message of Easter. By this, we know love. We know God sent his Son for us, not because of things we did, not because we didn't work enough to earn his love. We know God sent his love because we couldn't work enough to earn his love. We couldn't do enough to earn his love. We couldn't and can't because we were dead in our trespasses and sins. We know that, right? I hope you do. But we often forget that now that we are his children, he will never not love us. We still think that we have to continue to earn his love, show him that we're worthy of his forgiveness, of his grace, of his love. We're like that elder son in the parable of the prodigal son. We stay at home and do what God, what dad wants us to, because if we don't, he's going to cut us out of his inheritance. But when we do that, we show God that we really don't know his love, not the fullness of his love anyway. When you become God's child, it doesn't mean you become sinless. And you should never look to your own actions to assure yourself that you are still in God's good graces, that he'll welcome you into his heaven because you've shown him how wonderful you are. And that's why John wrote this. And this is his commandment. That we believe, that we trust in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another. When we know we failed to live as we ought, when we know we failed to love one another as we should, when our hearts condemn us, we cling to his promise that he will never leave us or forsake us. We don't simply say, well, I better get on the stick and start loving other people. I better do that more or dad's not going to be happy. You know, when dad's not happy, bad things happen. No. If the Holy Spirit shows you that you're not letting God's love have its way with you, that your love for others has fallen short, then you return to God's love for you in Christ. That's where you know real love. That's where you find the source of your love for others and the ability to love them in Jesus' name. It's only because Jesus laid down his life for you that you have the ability to lay down your life for others. Not only in the big ways, but also in the small ways. And the small ways are just as important in God's eyes as what we would call the big ways. We know that we should love one another. We know that because God told us that. But by clinging to His love, even and especially when we feel we don't deserve it, we'll find the willingness and the strength to do just that, to love others. Because by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us. Amen.